turkey.
They put cranberries in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. It was really good. You ready?
You've been recording this whole time?
Yes, I have.
Are you just going to edit it out, or?
I might.
Okay.
I might not.
Do the intro.
How the hell are you, everybody?
Do you have to swear from, like, the very beginning?
Hell. Hell's not a cuss,
yes,
is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah?
It's a damnation word. Like, you're not supposed to use God's name in vain type of thing.
Hmm. Interesting.
Just like damn. You're not supposed to say damn. Damn, damn, damn. I got in trouble for that when I was a kid.
How the heck are you, everybody? You must be good, because I hope you are. We're doing a show. It's a podcast called The Blade Runner Minute.
You got to do that the whole way through now.
Where twice a week we talk about Blade Runner. But we only talk about it a minute at a time.
No, we don't talk about it a minute.
We talk about a minute of it.
There you go.
At a time.
There you go. Because the other way, we only speak for a minute.
I'm Pete.
And I'm Sandra.
And this is the Blade Runner Minute, where we talk about minute 68. Minute 68 starts with Rachel saying the longevity while Deckard puts his shirt on. And it ends with Rachel standing in front of Deckard's piano in a sexy pose. She's got her hand on her hip. She's doing a sexy little pose.
I drew a picture, by the way.
Of her sexy pose? Oh, wow, you did. That's awesome.
Because I really want to talk about it.
Deckard stands in silhouette against the bright lights coming through his window. So beautiful.
She says, longevity, those things.
And Rachel is asking about intip dates, longevity.
Sounds just like Roy.
Yeah. You saw them? She asks Deckard, you saw them?
But he puts on his shirt. Saw them?
Is this when she walks in holding the drink? Now you see her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he says, they're classified.
He looks at her.
He's obviously lying. Did he look at her?
He looks.
He looks like he's avoiding her.
And then she goes, but you're a policeman.
No, she says it very... She says it with...
she's upset.
Frustration. But you're a policeman.
And you could see her face that she's...
You're lying to me. I know you could see them.
And he says, I didn't look at them. And then he sits down.
I didn't look at them.
Mm-hmm. And then you hear the sound of the drink being poured.
Then you hear him pouring the drink. He's lying to her.
And behind him, he has all these books tumbled in a weird, funny way.
Yeah, I couldn't really get a clear shot of any of the spines.
No, I couldn't, but the fact that they're tumbled in every which way shows that he reads them. Mm-hmm. I always am a suspect of people's bookcases that are all perfectly aligned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every book in the right shape, they're color-coded, or, like, they're by height level, because that, to me, then, is you're putting them for decor and not because the books mean something.
Oh.
Or that you read them. So I think that too orderly of a bookcase means they're there for show and not for enjoyment.
So the perfect bookcase to you is no bookcase. Just books piled up on top of the couch, next to the TV, by
the toilet.
Basically
what we have going on.
On the floor, just books.
Did you notice that every room in our house has reading material?
I'm in total agreement with you, by the way. I love that idea.
Is there one room in our house that doesn't have reading material?
I read the IKEA catalog on the turlet.
And there's National Geographic there, too, because, you know, I like to be fancy.
The kids got so many books that bookcase is busting, which I have to either fix or replace.
Mm-hmm.
There's books all over the place in here, in our room.
Mm-hmm.
And the living room has two gigantic bookcases.
Mm-hmm.
And then books in the kitchen and books in the living room, dining room. Good Lord. We are a bunch of nerds.
In multiple languages.
Some of them are Russian.
Mm-hmm. We have Russian books
in
those.
And some of them are Gallifreyan. I have the Brief History of Time Lords. Got your beat there, nerd.
We also have books on Italian.
Didn't look at him. He seems so nervous. This guy's lying to her.
I don't think he looked at her in sub dates.
You think he really didn't look at him?
I think he really didn't want to
know.
What
about that hesitation? Every time it's twice now. She asks, you saw them? Like the in-sub dates and the longevity? He says, there. Classified.
Mm-hmm.
Huge pause. Because he's lying. And then she says, but you're a policeman, stupid. I know you could see them. Classified doesn't...
I don't think he looks.
Classified doesn't matter to you.
I don't think he wants to know.
He says, I didn't look at him. And you think...
I don't think he wants... I think
okay.
He is.
You know that Voight Kampff test of yours? She asks.
She seems so angry when she's
saying
it.
Did you ever take the test yourself? And she is. She's getting kind of aggressive.
You can see this simmering anger under the surface of her skin, like it's going to pop out of her. Like, she's so angry. And is she asking because she suspects, or she just he's so sure of what the test says, how do you know it affects humans the same way it affects replicants? Like, that it has the same outcome.
And then I had this thought, because the camera lingers on Rachel for a long time.
And she does long blinks. She does really long blinks.
And I think it's to give the audience time to absorb what she just asked, because it can't be a coincidence that in the previous scene in 67, Deckard's eyes glowed. There was a glow in Deckard's eyes. And now she's asking him, a minute later, have you ever taken the Voight Kampff test yourself? Obviously, her point is, are you sure you're a human? Maybe you're a replicant, too.
Who decided that a Voight Kampff test would be what an answer for a replicant would be and what an answer for the human is? Like, how many people did they have to study and how many replicants to know this is the way a replicant always answers and this is the way a human always answers? Like, this is the way they would always look.
It's an empathy test, right?
Yes.
Essentially, it's...
Yeah, so what about people who are sociopaths and have no sense of empathy?
Mm-hmm. You would give the Voight Kampff test to
Ted Bundy,
Jeffrey Dahmer, or whoever.
And they wouldn't have any empathy. But they would know replicants. How to fake the empathy. So replicants must have learned to fake it, but you can't fake every physiological response. So then they would have the same responses as replicants, where they would answer in a way that sounds empathetic, but... Why? The physiological response isn't there.
You have this question. You just thought of this question, or this is something you prepared?
This is what I just thought of.
Oh, okay, because if it was something you prepared for the show, then we should have looked it up.
No.
The history of the Voight Kampff test. And
I've looked when we first initially.
What real psychiatrists think about it, or whoever, whatever the actual thing I'm trying to say is, like, to apply this Voight Kampff test to real world scenario. Does it even work?
I think in our early episodes. We delved into that and we did some research on it. But just now I was thinking, like, she brings up this point where it doesn't matter if she's saying it because she thinks he is a replicant or he could be a replicant. It's even, let's go on the premise that he's human. What makes you say that I got the answer that's a replicant? Like, where's your proof on that? Because there are plenty of unfeeling, unemotional people who may have the same response as I did. Mm-hmm. And look how long it took you to figure out that I was a replicant.
Over 100 for Rachel.
And it usually only takes 20 or 30, right?
Cross-referenced, yeah. Good point. We made it earlier. We've made it before. We've made the point before.
I know, but I'm just saying.
We kind of just, like, brushed past it. Because it's a frightening question, because I don't have the answer for it at all.
What is real?
Well, not only... Well, yeah, okay, sure. I guess that's part of it, too. Your Voight Kampff test is kind of BS. Just like lie detectors are kind of BS because there are people that could beat them. But this is as close as they've gotten to finding, to weeding, filtering out or weeding out or finding replicants. And that was your original question. How did they even come to the conclusion that this test is the test that'll weed out the replicants?
Do they have the eye thing in this one too? With the serial number? Or is that only in 2049?
That's later on. Yeah, we're going to... That's
okay, but
that's
didn't.
That's a spoiler for 2049.
No, but I mean only for 2049. We don't see that in Blade Runner, right?
Yeah, that happens. Okay. That happens after Tyrell dies.
Because I was gonna say we don't see that.
Oh, spoiler! Tyrell dies.
Okay.
Sorry about that, everybody.
Your mom is cursing you out right now.
Somebody's listening to this along with the movie. What do you mean he dies? He's my favorite character.
No, but I mean, like, we didn't see that happen with Zora. Like, how do they know that was a replicant?
Oh, you're really asking me?
Yeah, he shot somebody. How do you know that's a replicant?
There has to be an answer. Hold on, because I'm trying to discuss this with you and not spoil 2049, but we're not going to do 2049 for another, like, year or two, right?
Fall.
This fall?
Yeah.
Wait, what month is it?
This is almost March.
This is March.
This
we'll
March.
Be done by, like, August.
Mm-hmm.
And you think we're going to pick back up when?
October.
Get out of here. I'm not going to do this right away. We're going to wait a little while.
I got to do it right away. I have to film as many over the summer as possible. I'm going back to teaching full time.
No, we're
going to
wait until there's, like, another vacation or something.
Bologna. We're going to start in August. We're going to start recording 2049.
So we're going to finish the show and then go right into the next
one. I have to. I can't take breaks. I'm going to be off this summer. I need to do it this summer. Otherwise, we'll have to wait a whole nother year.
All right. Well, tell me if I'm going too deep. But yeah, the way they figured out Rachel was a replicant was at a cellular level.
But that was in 2049. I'm asking in this movie.
That's the only answer I got.
They don't have an answer for this movie.
That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, you're right. They don't. There's no way in 2049.
They gave us two answers.
The Nexus 8s, you could tell from under the eye.
So it's the 8th that you can tell the
seven,
eye.
Yeah, and the 7s are
something else. Okay, that's it. That's what I wanted to know. But there was nothing in this movie that stated that you could tell.
So when those cops showed up, those uniformed police officers showed up to respond to Zora being killed, didn't they? Are they asking what happened? Why'd you kill her? And he says she's a replicant. And,
okay.
But what are they going to say? Well, how the hell do we know? Prove it.
Okay. The only thing you said was that you saw her body go stiff?
Yeah, but I think I was wrong about that.
Okay.
Because I think her right arm, when they twisted her around, I think it did move a little. I don't think she was as stiff as I made it out to be. When I rewatched it, I had to go back to watch the next minute. I was like, oh, she's not that stiff. So maybe I was wrong about that. Leon just kind of falls over like a dead body. He doesn't look like anything special. They just look like dead people.
Like dead weight.
So
literal dead weight.
You could just kill anybody in this universe and just say...
If it's a Blade Runner, Blade Runner... There's a replicant!
So the Blade Runner could just like owe a guy money and just kill him.
That guy was totally a replicant.
That dude was a replicant. And I don't know how many
I must have messed up on the Voight comp test. My bad.
That's a spicy meatball.
That's why I'm asking.
That's not good.
And I think that's why she asked. I think that's why she asked. So she asks him this. She looks really angry. She takes these long blinks with her eyelashes.
May I ask you, though? May I interrupt?
Si, senor.
Based on what you just watched, the last minute, the glow in Deckard's eye, this minute, she's asking him, you ever taken the Voight comp test yourself? You, as a viewer, you're sitting there for like 7 to 11 seconds while the camera stays on her after she asks that question. You're getting a chance to process the last...
I'm not getting a chance to process it because I don't get to watch it for more than a minute at a time.
Just pretend.
I can't pretend. I am going to take the 5th until the credits.
You know
when
exactly
we get up to the
I'm
credits,
gonna...
yes.
I ask you all the
I'm
time.
Going to rewatch the movie in its entirety, front to back.
She calls out so softly after Deckard. The long pause. Deckard.
And she walks into the room and she's so upright. And she has that cigarette in her hand and the drink in her hand. And he's laying on the bed, open shirt, with a drink resting on his belly. And you see his hairy chest above it. And it looks like he's sleeping. Like he fell asleep that quick.
Hey,
that's
like
you. That's you. As soon as you lay down in the bed, you're asleep. And I'm like, Peter, you gotta roll over, you snore. And you're like...
He passes out like with the drink on his stomach, and then in a minute or two, something amazing happens.
We're not going to talk about
it. And I can't spoil it.
So then the music turns very sexy.
It's called Love Theme.
And he looks like he's sleeping, and we see her from behind, and here she is standing there very upright with her right arm at her waist, and it's very angular, and she has these pointy shoulders, and her hips are cocked slightly to the left.
Yeah.
Not enough that it ruins those angles of her shoulder and her arm. These all like
creates new ones.
Triangles. But then you just see this, her hips just slightly left, and she's all
upright. The triangles of her shoulders.
There's a picture, and I think we should post it on Facebook of what I drew her body like.
And the triangle that she forms while in between her arm, the crux of her arm, whatever that's called.
Doesn't that look the crook?
The crook.
Not the crux.
Poor crux.
It's different. But that looks just like her, right?
Yeah, it was a great job.
I did a good job. I want to talk about her costume.
She's very angular. She's art.
Yeah, can I talk about her?
She's a work of art.
Can I talk about her art?
Yeah, sure. Please, by all means.
So, because I've been watching a lot of old movies, when I have a chance, I've been like Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Krull. Right, Krull.
And they also had quite a few outfits with these wide shoulder pads.
Like in Krull?
I decided to look into it a little more, and I started thinking about how Krull. We keep... comparing her to Joan Crawford.
Yes.
And she really looks exactly like Joan Crawford did, particularly during a movie that I know you saw the thing on Amazon that said called Mildred Pierce.
Oh, yeah.
That was recently done in the last 10 years or so with Kate Winslet.
Yes.
And Evan Rachel Wood.
Yes.
And they followed closer to the actual novel, whereas the Joan Crawford from 1945 was a little bit more noir. They wanted it to be more of a detective thriller thing.
Like Krull. I gotcha.
Exactly like Krull. Mm-hmm. So Joan Crawford is known for wearing these very wide-shouldered outfits, very angular, and she also had the same hairstyle, you know, almost like those victory roll style bangs that Rachel has in these movies. She looks so much like Joan Crawford during Joan Crawford's 30s. Yeah. And this, it's insanity. You know, nowadays we have these very thick eyebrows, but their eyebrows weren't necessarily thin, but they weren't arched. They were circles on your eyes, not arched brows. Like, I have arched brows. You see how there's a little point in the middle?
Yeah, sure.
So they had very circular brows, but they talked about how the reason why Joan Crawford's shoulders always appeared so big, it wasn't just shoulder pads.
She had big shoulders.
She was actually very wide-backed and had very wide shoulders. So instead of trying to cover it up, they decided to
use it as go a strength. With it.
Go with it. Like, let's make it even wider. Let's really play it up. And in Mildred Pierce, the director, there was a story from the set that he hated the shoulder pads. And he tore open her shirt to pull the shoulder pads out and realized those were just her shoulders. And they just cut the clothes to make it look like shoulder pads. But it was really her body. And he was like, oh, all right, just let's go with
it. That's not your mother, baby. That's not a that man.
That's not.
Why won't this wig come off?
And it's not that she didn't wear shoulder pads in addition to, at times, but she was very wide-shouldered, and she really, they really liked that triangle shape between the 1920s and the 1940s of these powerful wide shoulders and these narrow little hips. So they played it up, and they decided this was the perfect thing for Rachel because of how powerful Joan Crawford looks in every one of her movies, no matter how old she got, no matter how odd her makeup choices were. She was a commanding presence, and they wanted Rachel every time she walked to the room, even though her features are so delicate and she speaks so delicately all the time, they wanted herself, the whole picture of her, to be powerful.
Mm. Yeah.
And I
it comes across. It comes
and
through.
It really does come across, you
it
know.
It really comes through.
I really appreciated that.
Like
the look of right. it.
Like I've said, since she turned in, words from the face.
Your boyfriend just texted me.
Who's my boyfriend?
Who do you think's your boyfriend?
Fred?
Yeah.
What's he texting you about?
That movie, Alita Experience, that we saw on cinema the other day.
Not interested anymore. Anyway, as soon as she showed up, Rachel, with the wide shoulders, with this new outfit, I noticed it and mentioned it right away. I said, she has shifted the tone of this film. Something has happened, and she's in charge now, and she seems more dangerous than ever. She doesn't seem like a delicate, helpless victim anymore, and it's now Deckard that I'm afraid for.
I know on Amazon how we like to talk about how the Amazon X-ray gets it wrong.
Every single freaking time.
They said all of her costumes are the exact replicas of the Mildred Pierce costumes from the Joan Crawford movie from 1945.
That's not true.
I purposely went and looked again because I saw that movie when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I've seen the more recent version, and I'm like, there are some of similarities because of the cut and the styling.
Maybe inspired
but there's nothing,
by
yeah,
some
inspired
of
by, but nothing.
No. Amazon Prime.
There's no
Amazon X-ray is
can
garbage.
Can we get a job doing the X-ray?
Yeah, it's garbage. Their entire staff is probably a bunch of kittens on a
typewriter.
I was going
to say it's the kittens living in basements.
Yeah.
La la la.
Just tapping away on the keyboards.
Or the people who edit Wiki wrong just to mess with you?
No offense, if you work for Amazon and you're one of the people.
Tell them their quality control needs to be better.
But Jesus, God Almighty, and Mary and Joseph and all of the saints, like, get your act together, man. Because your info was wrong. Just plain wrong. I like this love theme, the song.
I thought you were going to say love song, and in my head immediately popped Cure.
Dude.
Whenever
we should cut a video for the love song by Cure with these scenes. And even 73. Is it 72 or 73 where he throws her against the window?
I don't. Spoilers.
That's going to be uncomfortable. And we had it. We had the minute recorded already with Fressy, but now it's deleted. It was on my old hard drive.
I thought you backed that up somewhere.
No, I did not back
that
up.
Didn't you email it to yourself? Wasn't it on your phone, the original file?
It is on my phone.
So then why can't you just re-edit it, dum-dum?
There were a lot of rape jokes on that episode. I'd have to cut them all out all over again.
It would hurt Fred's feelings if you don't put it up.
Well, I can't have that. I can't hurt Fred's feelings. All right, yeah, I guess I'll find that file. I should have it on...
Did you want to do an alternate, or were you just going to go with it?
Well, if I have it, I'll keep that. I'll just.
But you've emailed it to yourself as well. That's how you got it onto the computer in the first place.
But so I'd have to find that too. That was like last winter or last spring or something.
It couldn't have been last winter.
It was 10 years ago.
It was like 2 months ago.
We recorded that before cellular phones were popular.
Oh my god! Then how did you record it?
Carefully.
With sticks.
What is happening to these two characters right now? The dynamic has changed.
Love happened.
Love is blossoming.
Love lifted the sun.
Love is blossoming. There's got to be a whole bunch of stuff that we're not.
She's starting to realize how much power she has, and he's starting to realize.
She's starting to point him out, and she's starting to point out that he might be a little full of shit.
That he's full of shit.
Yeah.
He realizes how much he's full of shit. That's why he's an alcoholic. That's
ultimately what that question is. Have you ever taken that void competition?
Because you're full of shit.
Do you not realize you're full of shit? And you're working for people that are full of shit? They want you to kill me for what reason?
You gotta say it in my father's voice if you're gonna call someone.
You fucking crazy. You full of shit.
There you go.
In Russian army. She's right, though. He's crazy. He's following orders blindly. You gotta take care of that skin job from the Tyrell Corporation. She ran off. So what? She ran off. Well, she ran off. Now we gotta kill her, too.
Do you have a VCR anywhere?
A what?
A VCR.
Why would you insult me with a question
like that?
Does
your mom have one?
Does your mom have one?
No, that's why I'm asking.
Your mom has a VCR. I'm asking serious questions about the movie here, but
Blade Runner. I need an answer.
Yeah, my mom probably has.
Okay, we need to borrow her VCR.
Why? What do you want to watch?
I think I have my dad's voice somewhere. That's why. I had it in my head. I want to say it out loud, and now it's on the thing. We'll remember when you go to edit.
I'll probably keep it in there.
Okay.
Want me to keep it in there?
I don't care. That doesn't affect me.
Don't confound me. Confront me. Confound me.
I don't know what he says.
What does he say? That don't confront me.
I think
as long as I get my rent by Friday. Yes. What does he?
I don't know. Ask people out there. Maybe they know.
No.
It's a good song.
I want to figure it out for myself.
One bourbon. One scotch.
One beer. You want to do shots of tequila out of my belly button?
No.
You sure?
Because your belly button is probably really dirty.
No, it's clean.
Smell it. Stick your finger in there and smell
it. If I could smell my own belly button, I wouldn't need a wife.
Okay. Stick your finger in your belly button and smell it. You don't got the nerve.
No, I would never do that. I would never do that. I wouldn't let you do it either. So Deckard's sleeping on the couch with the...
I don't think that's his couch.
You think it's his bed?
I think that's his bed.
Is that a studio?
It's a very large studio, but yes.
It's like a loft. Looks like a loft.
Maybe.
It's Deckard's loft.
It looked like a bed, though, because of the way they...
I'm going to name this episode Deckard's Loft.
Okay.
I like that. I'm happy about that.
I've
been having some goofy titles lately, because I'm drunk when I edit.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah. You want to do another one? You want to do 69?
I did not take notes for it.
I didn't either. You want to watch it on the tablet and record our reactions?
No, because I have to leave...
You want to Mystery Science Theater 3000 the shit out of the minute 69?
I have to leave in 20 minutes.
No problem.
Have children to get ready for dance class.
Okay. Nobody wants to hear about your real life. This show's about Blade Runner. We don't have lives. We're not humans.
Do you want me to take one of those umbrellas that lights up like a lightsaber out with me?
It's not a real lightsaber, Fred.
We know it's not a lightsaber, but it lights up like a lightsaber, Peter.
No, I was listening to... I think it's 66.
He's going to hear this and know that you made fun of him.
Let him hear it.
You just said you can't hurt his feelings.
I can and I will. And he's like, why do they need lightsabers on umbrellas? I was listening to it this morning on my way to work. Fred, you really thought that was a real lightsaber? Why would people be walking around with lightsabers?
They'll singe off their ears.
How could the lightsaber hold up the top of the umbrella? It would have burned right through it. It doesn't make sense, Sandra. But I love that man.
Thank you, everybody.
If he says that lightsaber umbrellas are real lightsabers, then goddammit, that's what they are.
Okay,
everybody. we've completely lost control of our mental faculties.
Does I've been married sense? To Peter too long. You still have so much of this.
I know. That's my John Varvatos cologne.
You can. I think it's Varvatos.
Varvatos? No, you think of Bambata.
No, because I think it's...
Bambata!
I think it's Spanish, where you don't really hear the V's, they're more like B's.
I think that's racist, actually, but, you know, that's your business.
No, why? In Cuban, when you say...
Uh-huh.
You don't say baño.
No, that's
it
cool.
It sounds more like baño.
No, that's cool. Yeah. Whatever you think about, you know, white people. Forever, right? Jesus Christ. No, don't you spray me! Bye, everybody. We'll see you for minute 69.
Bye.
It's coming up soon. One
pleasure that